This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. We have a dog. Her name is Sasha. She's almost four. She's a standard poodle. She's got curly, fluffy, soft black hair, and she's very adorable. And she's a part of our family, and we care a lot about taking good care of her. And that includes feeding her high-quality dog food like Merrick's. Founded in Hereford, Texas, Merrick has been crafting high-quality dog food for over 30 years. Real is Merrick's recipe. They always use deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. Merrick creates home-style recipes like real Texas beef and sweet potato or Grammy's pot pie, so you can feel good about what you're feeding your pet. I mean, you know, you come home from being out, and your dog is there to greet you, and, like, that's one of the best things about having a pet. You know, you come home, the dog's happy to see you, and they're hungry. And you want to reciprocate that good feeling they give you when you walk in the door. You want to give to them in the form of some high-quality food. So check out Merrick online or in your local pet store and look for their new packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. How'd you get into this?
Well, let's see. I started out working for a literary agent, and I decided that dead authors and artists were more interesting than the living, so I switched. Easier to deal with.
So they don't talk back.
No.
This is Justin Caldwell. He's a specialist in the Department of Books and Manuscripts at Sotheby's, the famous auction house. We're at their New York location talking about an upcoming auction of items from the artist Georgia O'Keeffe. Yes, the auction will include paintings likely to go for millions of dollars. But I'm here to see something else up for sale. It's not as valuable as one of O'Keeffe's paintings, but to me, at least, it's way more exciting. It's her box of recipes.
You're not going to see this side of Georgia O'Keeffe anywhere else. People who love Georgia O'Keeffe are bound to love this. And she, certainly her fans are legion. And nothing like this is going to come up again. This is it.
Justin should know. Over the years, a lot of famous people's papers have come across his desk. One of his favorites was an early version of Tennessee Williams' A Streetcar Named Desire. I say to him, it must feel sometimes like you're communing with the dead. And he says, when I look through these documents, to me, these people feel very much alive. It's an amazing thing, I would think, to hold a piece of paper in your hands and know that this famous person who did this incredible work has held that same paper, written on that same paper.
Yes, that is a wonderful feeling. The one thing I have learned over the years is to put my cup of coffee somewhere else.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Before we get to the show, thank you so much to everyone who came out to our Sporkful Live Anything's Possible run of shows. It was so great to meet so many of you and hear how much the show is a part of your lives. I really appreciate it. And so thank you. And while the main live podcast taping book tour extravaganza is over, we have a lot more cool events in the pipeline. Starting this very Thursday night in Brooklyn, the folks at Cafe Mars, which bills itself as a very non-traditional Italian restaurant, they have put together an entire menu inspired by Anything's Possible, but with all kinds of dishes that I could never conceive of. It's this Thursday night, May 9th, two seatings, one night only. See the menu and make a reservation at sporkful.com/events. And then I'm doing a virtual cooking class, so wherever you are, you can take part in my virtual cooking class with Milk Street on Thursday, May 16th. As we get ready for summer, we're going to be featuring two super flavorful, super easy dishes from the chapter of Anything's Possible that's entitled Pasta Salads Redeemed, Fresh and Bright, Hold the Mayo. Come and watch me cook or cook along with me, ask questions, hang out, whatever you want. Get more info and coupon codes at sporkful.com/events. Finally, one more. If you want a more up-close and personal pasta experience, and I don't blame you if you do, come meet up with me in Italy in November and eat pasta with me. There are only two spots left. We're down to the last two spots in my pasta pilgrimage to Italy. Go to many of the same places I went to on my cookbook research trip. Hang out with many of the same people. Katie Parla in Rome, Silvestro Silvestori in Lecce, and eat spaghetti all'assassina with me in Bari. It's going to be a blast. Sign up at culinarybackstreets.com/sporkful. All right. Let's get to the show. Sotheby's Auction House was founded in London in 1744. When I visited their New York location last month, I was expecting a big room with a podium and a gavel, and hopefully someone pounding the gavel and shouting, "Going once, going twice, sold to the mysterious lady in the hat." Or, I don't know, I always imagine a mysterious lady in a hat at fancy art auctions. So at the actual Sotheby's, they do have that room, but actually there's another part where they display paintings and papers that are coming up for auction. That's where I meet up with Justin Caldwell, and that area feels a lot more like a museum. I'm there one day before this massive auction of Georgia O'Keeffe's art, writings, and personal effects. As I said, I came for the box of recipes. But first, I will admit, I don't know a whole lot about art. So if you're like me, haven't been to an art museum since your eighth grade field trip, prepare yourself for a mercifully short art history lesson.
Georgia O'Keeffe is one of the great American modernists.
O'Keeffe spent most of her adult life in New Mexico. She's best known for her modernist paintings of the area's flowers and landscapes. Here she is talking about her love of the desert.
As soon as I saw it, that was my country. I'd never seen anything like it before, but it fitted to me exactly. It's something that's in the air. It's just different. The sky is different. The stars are different. The wind is different.
Precise drawings of bones, the vegetation, which is infused, I think, with just a little bit of surrealism. A steer's skull hovering in the clear blue sky over New Mexico. It's a break with the kind of realism that was established in the Renaissance and was dominant up until a late 19th century, early 20th century.
So she's sort of one of the leaders in this movement. For centuries, most painting was, people were painting pictures of things they could see with their own eyes.
Yes.
Whether it's a person or a field, mm-hmm. A field of flowers.
Yes.
And this was sort of the first movement of people painting things that you might only be able to see with your imagination.
Well, subjective views of things in the real world is certainly what O'Keeffe was doing. She's moving into another way of looking at things. And I think in O'Keeffe's particular case, she is able to make you see what's unusual or otherworldly about some of the things she finds on this world.
And in the world of art auctions in particular, I gather Georgia O'Keeffe is a giant.
She is a giant. She is the highest earner for a female artist. Her painting, Jimson Flower Weed, sold here at Sotheby's a couple of years ago for $44 million. That's a world record for a female artist.
And this is a painting of, I mean, she was famous for her paintings of flowers.
Of flowers,
big,
yes.
Big paintings, very, yes. Zoomed in on one mm-hmm. petal or one
which,
blossom.
Yes. You know, it's a hyper-realist painting, and that somehow gives it a surrealist feel.
You seem like you really like Georgia O'Keeffe.
I do.
That's just the vibe I'm getting here, Justin.
Yes.
So what is it about her in particular? Like, what stands out for you personally about her and her work?
Well, I like the fact that while she is a very strongly American artist, but it's American art as we've not seen it before her time. You know, it's not folksy. It's not down home. It's clean and it's severe. And it's very serious, but it could not be mistaken for the art of any other country.
And what draws you to her as a person?
The fact that she was very much her own person. She took control of almost every aspect of her life. You see this not just in the paintings, but she chose where she would live, how she would live, what she would eat for dinner. Was very carefully planned, what she wore. She was meticulous about her clothes. She knew how to control her image. You know, she wasn't simply the subject of a photograph, but she commanded and took control, and it's what she wanted you to see of her and how she wanted you to understand her.
Many of the best-known photos of Georgia O'Keeffe were taken by her husband, Alfred Stieglitz, a famous photographer. If you've never seen a photo of her, picture one of the nuns from Sound of Music, but in the desert, looking sternly off into the distance. O'Keeffe and Stieglitz lived in New York in the 1920s. O'Keeffe started spending more and more time in the New Mexico desert, and eventually moved there full-time after Stieglitz's death. All along, she kept track of her daily life in meticulous notes, which ended up at this auction at Sotheby's.
We have her address book, and we know that this address book is from the late 1920s, early 1930s. And the whole artistic scene in New York, which is where she kept this address book, comes alive because you have the names of poet she was in touch with, the Museum of Modern Art, which had just been founded, Frida Kahlo, the poet Edna St. Vincent Millay, art critic Henry McBride. And so this is her world as seen through the people she telephones. You can look at her recipes and you see another side of her world.
Now we get to the item in this auction that has brought me here today. Here it is, the recipe box.
Ah, yes.
Wow. Okay. It's bigger than I expected.
Well, there are big note cards there. Some of the recipes are quite detailed. And many of these recipes have been written out by O'Keefe. And then at a later date, on large note cards, an assistant has typed them out. Of course, it's much more fun to look at the ones which are in her hand. But you get what you get here in almost everyone's recipe box. There are many things in her own hand, modifications she's made on other people's recipes. Then you have things she's clipped from newspapers and magazines, recipes in other people's hands, things that they have given her. For instance, local things such as chicken flautas. There is a recipe here for the St. Peter's cocktail. Now, that is on the letterhead of the famous hotel in Santa Fe, the Fonda. This is from the bar, and the bartender's written out the recipe for the St. Peter's cocktail, which is four parts gin, splash of absinthe, and there may be one other ingredient.
The full St. Peter's cocktail is four parts gin, two parts lime juice, one part sugar, then a splash of Pernod or absinthe.
That's going to have you flying right there. You don't need another ingredient.
That sounds like a perfect drink to drink right before going out into the desert and painting some cow skulls.
Oh, yeah. Or after a busy day of painting in the desert, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. That may give you a false impression of this collection of recipes, though. Most things here are very healthy. They depend on fresh food, fresh vegetables, fruits, things that she could grow in her own garden. So, for instance, right here, the thing that pops up is freezing peaches. She froze food, she canned food, she made sure she had delicious things all year round. She planned this out very carefully so she could have the best.
So when this first came across your desk, what did you think?
Well, I wasn't sure what to think until I sat down and kind of went through it. And then I started finding the recipes in her own hand and so on. And the pattern started to emerge of good, simple food made with fresh ingredients.
O'Keefe's first home in New Mexico was at Ghost Ranch, about an hour north of Santa Fe. When she moved down the road to Abiquiu, part of what drew her to the new property was that it had space for a garden. Many of the fruits and vegetables she ate were grown there in her yard. At Sotheby's, as I said, most of the auction items are displayed in what looks like a museum exhibit, but there's one narrow room with glass cases along both sides, like jewelry cases. This is where O'Keefe's papers and letters and the recipe box are on display. As I flip through the recipes, I'm struck by O'Keefe's handwriting, thick lines, ornate and twisting. Justin says it reminds him of the vines she often painted with her flowers. And almost nothing's crossed out. If she ever made a mistake on a card, she must have just started a new one. As Justin says, she was very exacting. So I know that a lot of letters, documents, manuscripts come across your desk.
Yes.
How is seeing someone's personal collection of recipes different from seeing other kinds of documents?
Well, you know, this takes you into someone's kitchen, which we don't get to go into very often. We're more likely to be in someone's study or even in someone's bedroom before we're in their kitchen with the manuscripts, the letters, and things we deal with. I can't think of another time when I've gotten to do this. Now, I can remember years ago seeing a coconut cake recipe of Emily Dickinson's in a letter, that kind of thing. But this, you can almost feel the pots and pans rattling when you look at these. But it's very immediate. And I suppose we don't have as many handwritten recipes as we used to. I still have a few in my mother's hand and that kind of thing. But
right, we don't have as many handwritten anything as we used to.
No, I think most people now use their iPad in the kitchen and prop it up, and they've got a recipe in front of them.
But so like 100 years from now, the person who has your job might get like a hard drive dropped in their desk.
Maybe so, yes. Also, this is quite different Two, in that it's hard for me to imagine someone actually writing recipes in a kitchen with a fountain pen. And most of these are written with a fountain pen.
What do you think that says about a person?
A certain formality. And that's absolutely true of Georgia O'Keeffe. I'm sure that there was no, you know, sitting with a plate on her lap in front of the television, not the usual American thing.
What are some of your personal favorite recipes in here?
My own favorite, because it's a recipe from the past that you don't see anymore, is tomato aspic.
Aspic, that's like a savory jello.
Yes, right? It
it's
is.
A, like a
it
jello is. Mold, but it's more like...
Yes, it's a it's certainly fancier, nicer than that.
Right, right.
But I do like the fact that some of these are things you don't see anymore, such as Maryland fried chicken. That's a term that doesn't come up, I don't think. And the desserts, they're not many, but they're very old-fashioned.
Like what? What's one that stands out?
Floating islands or île flottante.
What's that? How do you make that?
It is an island of meringue floating in a little lake of... custard,
ooh.
A custard cream.
And we should bring that back, pretty. Justin.
Yes, yes.
If some of those dishes sound weird, you probably missed season 4 of The Great British Bake Off, where they make floating islands. As for Maryland fried chicken, that's like chicken fried steak, but made with chicken. So it's shallow fried, served with white gravy. You can read more at marylandfriedchicken.net. I know I did. The recipe box also has instruction manuals for kitchen tools, like a pressure cooker. The page on how to use it to cook vegetables is splattered with grease stains, a sign of how much O'Keeffe used it. All right, so this one is fresh applesauce.
This is the fresh applesauce, which does have yogurt, which is unusual to me, at least.
Right, so it's fresh applesauce. She's not cooking the apples here.
No, it's not cooked.
8 ounces of yogurt, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 2 tablespoons of honey... Yes. And you put that in blender, add apples one at a time, 5 to 7 peeled cored apples. And then there's a note here, don't let blender run too long, little at a time till smooth.
Yes. I'm sure that most Americans in the 50s, if they knew what yogurt was, they probably associated it with, what, beatniks, people with sandals and white socks, that kind of thing.
Right. What connections do you see between the recipes in this box and Georgia O'Keeffe's art?
I see that they're both, I've used the term before, but very American. You know, this is not a Frenchified collection of recipes. These are all American things. You find spoon bread, corn cakes, all those things. You know, a nice fancy dessert every now and then. Most things are plain. They're completely unpretentious. And also with an appreciation for the natural world, natural ingredients. You know, it comes across in her paintings, which are not really that much about human beings as much as the things that human beings are seeing. And I am sure that she had the same appreciation for the fresh fruits and vegetables that went into her kitchen as she did for the ones that went to the studio for her to paint.
As Justin and I are talking, there's a steady stream of visitors coming into this narrow room where the papers are on display, and everyone wants to see the recipe box. One woman asked what I'm taping for. We get to chatting, and it turns out she wrote a whole book on Georgia O'Keeffe and feminism.
Linda M. Grasso, I'm the author of Equal Under the Sky, Georgia O'Keeffe and Feminism.
And you were just saying you have a theory as to why people are so interested in this recipe box in particular.
Yes, I think that the part of the fascination is that O'Keeffe is such an iconic figure and there's always a conflict with gender. They always associate her as painter, and being painter and woman and domestic are still these diametric oppositions.
Wait, do you think it also has something to do with, maybe this is an oversimplification, but I feel like there's like a positive and a negative way to read it. There's one reading which is like, she was this woman who broke through all these gender norms, who was strong and powerful, had an extraordinary career and made her own choices and blazed her own trail.
Right, so you don't associate her with cooking.
Right, and then to associate her with cooking and to picture her in the home making dinner somehow undercuts or diminishes that.
Or it expands the idea of what it means to be female and to be a woman It makes women feel better about being domestic and artistic. Why is it that there are so many women still? If you go to an exhibition, it's mostly women that you see coming in. Why does she appeal to women so much and generation after generation after generation? And I think that recipe box gets to some of the answers.
Just then, Linda spots a friend walking by, another O'Keeffe scholar. Turns out I stumbled into a goldmine of guests for this episode. Linda introduces me to Roxana Robinson, author of Georgia O'Keeffe, A Life.
In my book, I have a photograph of her in her pajamas and bathrobe in the kitchen. And we see her handwriting saying, this is how to make fajitas. And there's a note here that I saw the other day saying, Margaret Prosser and I learned to cook. We bought a cookbook, and Margaret Prosser, who was the housekeeper at Lake George, we learned to cook together. Georgia O'Keeffe grew up in a farmhouse in a big family, and there was a cook there. There were hired hands. There were 9 or 10 people to cook for every day. But she was infinitely adaptable. When the family lost money and moved on hard times, she could do anything. She could clean a house. She made her clothes. She could plant vegetables. And so the idea of this person who can inhabit the world that all women know, the day-to-day world of making breakfast and sweeping the kitchen, and also this surreal, mysterious, and deeply fascinating and comforting on some level, the world of her paintings, the idea that she can inhabit both those worlds is a matter of such enormous import to women.
Georgia O'Keeffe lived in Abiquiu, New Mexico until she died in 1986. She was 98. Since then, these recipes and all the other items up for auction tomorrow have been in the possession of Juan Hamilton. He was a close friend, confidant, and sometime caretaker of O'Keeffe's, who is himself an artist. So Justin, as we record this, this box of recipes, along with the other paintings and documents that are part of this collection, are going to be auctioned here at Sotheby's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
What are you expecting for this recipe box at that auction?
Well, we put a conservative estimate on this recipe box of $6,000 to $8,000. Now, I would be very disappointed if it didn't make more, because there's just too much in here.
And it's way better than $44 million.
Well, yes, yes. this is a little more affordable.
Coming up, we'll talk with someone who cooked for and with Georgia O'Keeffe almost every night for 5 years. We'll find out what O'Keeffe taught her about cooking. Then later, the auction. How much are these recipes going to go for? And who'll be the one to get them? Stick around.
And now, a delicious word from our sponsors.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. They've got over 7,000 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels, and you will get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. I especially love those Cambria Hotels. They have locally inspired hotel bars with all kinds of specialty cocktails, downtown locations right in the center of all the action. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces. That way, if you're a business traveler, you'll be able to get all your work done. On-site restaurants, fantastic. And then at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles and great pools for the whole family and spacious rooms. I mean, if you have kids, you understand the importance of the pool. If you stay at a hotel with a pool, almost nothing else matters. Fortunately, all the Choice Hotels take care of all the other stuff too, but I mean, a pool is a great start. Whatever kind of vacation you're going on, whatever kind of travel you're doing, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. Are you ready for warmer weather? I know I am. But is your wardrobe ready? I just stocked up on spring and summer clothing at Quince. And let me tell you something. I'm feeling great about everything I got. I got a couple of short sleeve button down shirts, polo shirt, some shorts. Everything feels great. It's super high quality. And I can't believe how much stuff I got at a reasonable price. Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Whatever you need for the spring and summer, Quince has your back. Upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sporkful for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sporkful to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sporkful. I just got a very wonderful shipment of goodies from the folks at Reese's. And let me tell you something. These people remain the absolute worldwide leaders in bringing together chocolate and peanut butter. Of course, we know that peanut butter cups remain transcendent. But have you tried the Reese's Sticks? They're wafers with peanut butter in between each wafer, all coated in chocolate. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter just brings people joy, and the folks at Reese's do it better than anyone. So shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. Last week on the show, I talked with music producer Benny Blanco, who has worked with stars like Katy Perry, SZA, Rihanna, and Justin Bieber. He's also obsessed with food, and he learned early on that food was a great way to connect with the artists he was working with in the studio, or at least a good way to make sure they show up for their recording sessions.
The first time I was working with SZA in the recording studio, we were at my house, and she like went down to get a drink, and she saw something in the fridge, and she was like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Oh, it's like banana pudding." She like had one bite. It was like in a big like sheet tray, and then like by the end of the day there was no more banana pudding left. She would just like sneak down for bites. Then it was like, "Oh wait, what else do you make?" Then it was like lasagna. Then it was like, there was a time when SZA said, "I'm not coming over unless you have spicy rigatoni cooked for me."
Now, Benny has published his first cookbook. It's called Open Wide, A Cookbook for Friends. And it's not just a collection of recipes. It's also a manual for throwing a great party, a topic that Benny takes very seriously, as you will hear. I had a ton of fun talking with him. We bonded over our love of clean countertops and a lot more. I think you're going to love this episode. It's up right now. Get it wherever you got this one. Now, back to Georgia O'Keeffe. We'll get to the auction, but first, Georgia O'Keeffe lived in that secluded home in rural Abiquiu, New Mexico, towards the end of her life. But O'Keeffe wasn't alone. She had a team of help with her. Margaret Wood worked there in the late 70s and early 80s. Margaret was in her 20s, and Miss O'Keeffe, as she was called by all but her closest friends, was in her 90s. Margaret got the job through a friend who gave her a warning before she started.
She just told me that it would require a lot of patience because Miss O'Keeffe was extremely particular and although kind, but it was a challenge for several months to make that adjustment, to do the different duties I had to her liking.
Is there a specific example you can give me of something that took you a little bit of time to learn to do to her liking?
Well, to start off with the food. So she said, "Do you like to cook?" And I said, "Yes, I certainly do." So she said, "Well, let's give it a try." And after 2 days of my hippie health food, she said, "My dear, let me show you how I like my food." My first way of trying to cook for her was a lot of brown rice and chopped vegetables with chicken added, and that was not what she liked.
What did she not like about chopped chicken and brown rice?
It just was too much of a mash, of a mixture.
Oh, interesting. So she liked sort of clear lines between components.
Yes. For example, we might have a meal of a very nicely roasted lemon chicken. And beside it, we would have steamed broccoli. And then we might have fried potatoes with that. And a nice green salad with lettuce from the garden and fresh herbs in the dressing.
But each thing would be kept separate on the plate.
Yes.
Like everything in its right place.
Correct.
So this sort of current trend, what I think sort of think of as, you know, the bolification of the American restaurant scene, where like everything is just sort of start with a bowl, put some rice or some quinoa or some greens in it, and dump a bunch of other stuff on top. That would not have been to her liking, I gather.
Not at all. No, that would be the opposite of what she would enjoy.
Margaret worked the overnight shift from 5 in the evening till about 8:30 in the morning. So it was just her and O'Keefe. Margaret would read books and newspapers to O'Keefe, who had macular degeneration, so she couldn't see well at this point. They'd go for walks, and they'd have dinner. In 2009, Margaret published a cookbook called A Painter's Kitchen, Recipes from the Kitchen of Georgia O'Keefe. One of the anecdotes that you shared that I loved is that she had a specific instruction for you for how to stir a pot.
That's right, to not scrape the sides, to dig down and lift up. She would give me some instructions like that, yes, and to chop the herbs very carefully and finely, not to kind of destroy them in the process. After several months, we really did have quite a nice time cooking and trying some new recipes from time to time.
Do you still stir pots today the way she told you to?
I don't really know if I think about that very much, but I still eat. Often I eat the way that she liked to, with the lemon chicken and the simple vegetables. And there are a couple desserts in there that I fix quite often.
Like what?
Well, there's a apple pie cake that's just delicious. Then there's a recipe that I tried on Miss O'Keefe from my dorm mother in college. It's a lemon pecan fruitcake, and it has pecans and golden raisins and lemon extract, and it's just delicious. I make that every year for my friends at Christmas.
That sounds really good. One of the things that was interesting to me when I went to Sotheby's, I spoke with a couple of O'Keefe scholars. One of the things they felt was especially meaningful about this recipe box was that here is a woman who rose to the very highest heights of the world of art, and that she could achieve so much and also be domestic, care about food and cooking. It was very meaningful to those scholars that I spoke with. Is that something she talked about?
No, I think she just was that. She would say to me, "Do you think others eat as well as we do?" You know,
right?
She was very pleased about how we ate. Mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like she was like a little bit cocky about it.
Oh, very, very.
I love the idea of her being kind of like cocky about the food that is served in her house. You know, like, because I think it's the kind of thing that like people who are good at cooking and take pride in food, like, you're not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And especially, like, society says women aren't supposed to brag. They're not supposed to give credit to themselves. And I like that she's just like, no, I know exactly what I want to eat, and I know what's good, and what we eat in this house is good. Mm-hmm. After our conversation, Margaret emailed me a few of her favorite quotes from Miss O'Keefe, including one about soup. If it doesn't taste good, it wasn't made with love. And O'Keefe's overall life motto: it's not enough to be nice in the world. You've got to have nerve. Now, the moment we've been waiting for, the auction. As Justin from Sotheby's said before, the recipe box was listed at a price of $6,000 to $8,000, but he was hoping for more. I was ready for the bidding back and forth, the drama, the excitement, the sideways glances, the mysterious lady in the hat. You know, something like this.
Lot number 30 for the Georgia O'Keefe Nature Forms Gaspé. We will start the bidding out here at $3 million, $3,200,000. At $3,200,000, here with me at $3
million. At $4,100,000.
$5,100,000, here in the room. $5,200,000.
$5,250,000.
$5,300,000. $5,400,000 now. At $5,800,000 then, are we all done? And fair warning now, at $5,800,000. Sold for $5,800,000. Thank you all.
Whatever. $5.8 million and you still don't know how to make tomato aspic. But when it came time for the recipe box, you're not going to believe what happened.
We are pleased to announce that the Beinecke Library, Yale University, has acquired the following 11 lots, which will be joining the library's already renowned collection relating to George O'Keefe and Alfred Stieglitz. Lots 13, 46, 57, 62,
Lot 57 is the recipe box. The night before the auction, just hours after I had been at Sotheby's, someone straight up bought it. Apparently, that's a thing you can do. If you offer enough money, the auction house might agree to just sell it to you before anyone else gets a crack at it. Now, Sotheby's, I know you've been around since 1744, so I don't mean to auction-splain you, but if you sell an item to someone for an agreed-upon price, that is not an auction. It's just a sale. Where are our gavels? We were promised gavels! Well, once I got over my auction disappointment, I wanted to learn more about who snagged those recipes. Turns out it was Yale's Library of Rare Books and Manuscripts, which maintains an archive of Georgia O'Keeffe items started by the artist herself. I called up Nancy Cool, one of the curators of that collection. So where exactly will these recipes be kept? Help me picture their home.
Sure. Well, they will be in the stacks at the Beinecke Library, somewhere nearby. There are 259 boxes in the Georgia O'Keeffe and Alfred Stieglitz papers. They'll be filed somewhere nearby.
The Beinecke Library has one of the largest collections of Georgia O'Keeffe's papers in the world. 40 of those boxes are letters between her and her husband, Alfred Stieglitz. Nancy says part of the reason the library wanted the recipes in particular is that these days scholars are more and more interested in filling out the whole world of a person they're studying. They want to understand all the ways an artist's creative sensibility is formed and how an artist expresses herself not just on a canvas, but also in the kitchen. Of course, artists aren't the only ones who express themselves in the kitchen.
I imagine like a librarian's cookbook party. Librarians cook Georgia O'Keeffe. Like, you know, nowadays there's cookbook clubs, which are like book clubs, except you get a cookbook and everyone in the group cooks a different dish in the cookbook.
I myself am not a cook, so I will be eagerly there with my napkin tucked under my chin. but it's hard for me to imagine actually rolling up my sleeves.
So the person who bought Georgia O'Keeffe's recipes isn't a cook?
Well, I mean, I'm not the person who bought them.
Right.
They were acquired by the Collection of American Literature at the Beinecke Library. So, and I'm an enthusiastic eater of all different kinds of things.
Okay, well, that counts.
Cooking is just one way to enjoy food, I think.
That's fair. I know, Nancy, when I stopped, because I went to Sotheby's, I saw the recipes. Maybe this is an old feeling for you because you work in a prestigious library, but just holding the papers in your own hand and knowing that Georgia O'Keeffe held these same pieces of paper and wrote on these same pieces of paper, and now I'm holding them, I think is always, to me, that's a very cool and obviously tangible connection to somebody.
It really is. And I'll tell you, it never gets old for me. It can feel like being in a time machine. It can feel as if we are, you know, getting a message from the past in some very direct way. And that doesn't get old for me. And I think, you know, Georgia O'Keeffe's very distinct handwriting, and her handwriting is very beautiful, even if it's sometimes difficult to read. And so that, you know, you always know you're looking at the work of Georgia O'Keeffe's mind when you see her handwriting.
Now, I know when I talked to the folks at Sotheby's, they said that the asking price for the auction was $6,000 to $8,000, but they were hoping to get more. Can you give me some idea of what you paid?
You know, I'm sorry, I can't really. We at the library, we don't disclose what we pay for our acquisitions, and so I can't speak to that.
Hmm.
I can't say anything about the price.
So we can't play like warmer, colder?
Nope.
Well, that sounds good, Nancy. I'm glad that the recipes will be in a place where people will be able to see them and have access to them online or in person. It certainly feels better to me than them just like ending up on some like billionaire's mantle. So
yeah, we prefer that too. I mean, it's our real honor and privilege to be able to make these things available to scholars and to the general public and to play a role in promoting the legacy of such an extraordinary artist.
That's Nancy Cool, one of the curators at the Yale Library's collection of rare books and manuscripts. Now, Nancy couldn't tell us what they paid for the recipes, but on the Sotheby's website, there's a bid price of $11,250. Sotheby's insists this is not the sale price. It's a bid that went in before the auction was withdrawn. They won't tell us anything more than that. But we're going to go ahead and speculate that the final price must have been higher than that bid of 11 grand. Since Yale acquired these recipes, they've digitized them and posted the images on their library website so anyone can see them. We'll post a link in our show notes. Next week on the show, I talk with actor Claudia Jesse, best known for playing Eloise in the steamy period drama Bridgerton on Netflix. But Claudia doesn't live the typical Hollywood life. She's not on social media, and she doesn't live in a big city. In fact, until recently, she lived on a houseboat in a canal 3 hours north of London. So what does Claudia eat while living on her boat? And how does she feel about traditionally English food now that she's vegan? We'll talk about all that and a lot more next week. While you wait for that one, check out last week's episode with superstar music producer Benny Blanco. We talk about his tips for hosting an incredible dinner party and why he sometimes feels like a duck on a pond. The one's up now. Get it wherever you got this one. This episode was originally produced by me along with Emma Morgenstern and Harry Huggins. It was edited by Tracy Samuelson and mixed by Jared O'Connell. The Sporkful team now includes Emma Morgenstern, Andres O'Hara, Nora Ritchie, and Jared O'Connell. Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher Studios. Our executive producers are Colin Anderson and Nora Ritchie. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And this is Larkin from Ithaca, New York, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.